It's
beginning to look
beginning to
a
look
lot
a
like
lot
New
like
Year's.
Christmas. Oh, New Year's. Fuck.
You ruined it. I even gave you a heads up.
It did. I'm sorry.
That adds just more charm to it, though.
It is still Christmas, though. I'm gonna argue that.
Oh yes, we had a whole rant about that in our Patreon. Go listen to it there.
Listen to our Patreon, guys. Pay, give us money.
Where Paul is convinced that there is still 6 days left of Christmas, even though I
It's
think
the
Christmas
12
ends on the
days.
25th, but
It far be it from me if they're gonna start playing Christmas music in like mid-November,
okay, I also don't do that
then
though.
we at
I give
least get
each
it
holiday its
afterwards.
own little section. So I don't play Christmas music till Thanksgiving is over.
At the very least, you have to admit Christmas ends at New Year's
Yes,
as opposed
I'll give you
to
that.
the 25th. Yeah.
I'll give you that.
'Cause it's Christmas time the entire time until New Year's. And then after New Year's, you have to go back to
And then the
work,
tree
which
can come
sucks, but
down.
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There
See,
we
there
will
we go.
agree.
We have reached an accord. Hello,
Hi,
Tori.
Paul.
What a lovely, I mean, 2024. We're in 2024
Oh
now. This is
yeah.
gonna release on,
Happy
yeah,
New
this will
Year.
release on the second.
We spent our Patreon bonus episode manifesting what we want in 2024.
Yes, join us there for some good times.
For some insight, for some
Oh.
unfiltered Paul and Tori gossip. That's all we really did for an hour was gossip.
For those of you, yeah, you can hear us talk about Icelandic Christmas traditions and butcher the French language on accident.
All in a day's work.
And just and stalk one of our listeners who's from North Dakota.
Max, North Dakota? Was that the place?
Max, if you are the person from Max, North Dakota, we doxed you.
We
we've
found your
gone on Google
location.
Maps. We've gone on Google Maps and we've gone around
We
Max, North
visited your local
Dakota.
McDonald's.
Happy New Year. This episode's for you, listener from Max, North Dakota.
In other words, we discovered that you can break down the listeners from country to state to city. And we discovered new
Yes.
cities we didn't know existed because we have listeners there apparently.
I think it's very generous calling Max a city. It
Town?
is. It is a hamlet, if anything. It
Don't
is a
disrespect our one listener from Max.
yeah, because he's the only guy living there.
Shout out to
In
you.
anyway, shout out, listener from Max, North Dakota.
I do have a story from a couple weeks that I didn't tell you. It's not even a story. I can't go too much
Oh.
into it, but
What? So you're gonna give me
I'm going
vague
to give you a
allusions to something?
teaser. Paul,
Jesus.
have you ever waltzed with a girl?
No, I've only gotten jiggy with it with a girl.
Do not waltz with a girl. You may develop a crush. That's all I have to say.
Again.
Again, Tori, we're here again.
When did you go waltzing? When did you go waltzing?
No, okay, so I went line dancing and then they played a waltz and then I got asked to waltz and I felt like a gay Disney princess.
I mean, the waltz will do that.
Yeah, it was
And it's
like
one of the easiest dances to ever learn. It's just one, two, three,
it
one,
was
two,
exactly
three, one,
that.
two, three.
I felt like Beauty and the Beast, except gay. No beast.
No beast. Beauty and the Beauty. Classic.
Beauty and the Beauty. All that to say, 10 out of 10 would recommend waltzing with girls if you give it a shot.
I'll keep that in mind. I will keep that in my back pocket.
Hey, what'd you get for Christmas?
A few little things. It's mostly the most things I got for Christmas was more money to help me keep living here.
Which is
But
appreciated.
oh, my parents sent me this. My sister sent me this. It's backwards, isn't it?
No, it's not. I can read it clearly, but why
Oh.
don't you read it for the listeners?
And it says, "Sarcasm is just one service that I offer, and I have it set up on my computer."
It is so true. You should find a way to
And
get paid for
then,
that.
my parents sent me a quote of the day calendar as well, and a lovely scented candle, and then a bunch of candy.
I love how you're
So
looking
that was
around
a
to
fun.
remember what you got for Christmas.
Look, they're small things, okay? What did you get for Christmas, Tori?
What did I get from Christmas? Oh, my parents also gave me money. Thank you, parentals, to help pay for that washer and dryer in the back.
Yeah.
Look at that gorgeous unit.
Absolute unit.
It's all in a pile right there, actually. Let me do what you just did and look around. A lot of house stuff, really. Yeah, like a comforter, some like kitchen stuff. It was a very adulty.
Some delightful adult, yeah.
Very adulty Christmas.
Well, if you have any spare money, the Steam sale is still going on.
Oh, don't say that. Don't make me drop money on video games.
No, you get good deals. Like they're like 50% off most of the time. Like you can get just a lot of games for like $10.
That's dangerous, Paul. It's dangerous.
Give it a look.
Okay, I'll go look at the Steam sale.
I'm a dangerous guy. Heck, maybe see if Baldur's Gate is there if you don't want to drop a whole. If you don't want to drop the whole price. I'm looking at right now. Oh, I will get you to play Baldur's Gate. It's a wonder that Brooke hasn't talked you into playing Baldur's Gate.
I mean, many people have given the pitch. I've watched many people play, which I do enjoy doing. I just haven't sat down to play it myself.
I'm just saying, I think you'll find that it is well worth. Okay, never mind. It's
the price.
The sale is barely noticeable.
I mean, I know it's right up my alley.
It's 10% off.
Okay, that's a little discount.
So instead of $60, it's $52.
That's your usual video game price. What can you say?
Well, and it is a technically a recent development. Friends, what can you do? Well, I'll tell you what you can do. You can feed them while telling them about all the adventures you've been on, as we'll do in this week's episode of The Silly Marillion. Wait, how do I? Oh, yeah. Okay. I forgot how I start the podcast.
Wait, before you start, can I give one more plug?
Oh, yeah.
Even
one more
though
plug.
That was a great transition, I'm going to reel it back.
All right.
I was in a holiday one shot, which I think will be out by the time this comes out. But I wanted to.
If not, it'll be weird.
Yeah, I think it will be out by then. I wanted to give a shout out because it's really cool and really fun. And I play a really gay Santa's elf who does a lot of flirting. And it will be a good time. And it'll be my first, like, would you call it like a professional D&D thing? Kind of. It was kind of professional.
You had a producer there. Yeah, I would say it's pretty professional.
We were manifesting.
You had a 5-camera setup and a producer.
Anything
more than anything more than a camera, really, is professional.
Anyway, shout out to all of them. I bet they're going to listen to it at some point because I told them I was going to shout it out. Anyway, it was super cool. It's super fun. It will be announced on Instagram, Table Runners Official, Table Runners Official. And then the YouTube channel is Table Runners. And you will find it there. And it's super fun. That's all.
Go, people. Go support Tori and all her friends who look really cool in their get-ups.
Manifesting more D&D TTRPG in 2024, starting off with this one.
Oh, and trust me, I'm going to be doing in-person D&D in 2024. That's another thing.
I really want to join.
Yeah,
it's
just my
schedule that concerns me.
I know.
I really want to join.
Grabs your schedule by the throat.
Truly. All right.
Anyway.
Now we can transition the chapter.
Now we can start. Well, after you make me mad at your job. In 3, 2, 1. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode, this year's first episode of The Silly Marillion. I, as always, am your host, Paul, a connoisseur of Lord of the Rings lore, baker of pies, and bacon-wrapped water chestnuts, ringing in the new year with someone who's just so cool, I can barely contain how cool they are. Tori, Happy New Year.
Hey, Paul, Happy New Year. Thanks for having me here. It's an honor. I don't understand how I became cool. Everyone is always saying how cool I am, but I just have, like...
Okay, well, you look at your Instagram posts, specifically you dressed as Beau, and you tell me that you don't look cool
there.
Look,
when you cosplay as someone who's very confident and cocky and arrogant, some of that kind of just rubs off on you.
It's fake it till you make it, really.
That's all that we're trying to do.
All you gotta do is give yourself the right headspace, and you can accomplish so many things. Not me, though. I'm sticking I'm sticking inside.
What chapter are we on, Bo? What is this Roman numeral? IX?
Chapter 9. We are covering Chapter 9 in Book 3 of The Two Towers. Flotsam and Jetsam.
Alright, so I will be so honest. I don't know what those are or mean. And I was going to look it up, and then I thought, nah, I'll just ask Paul.
So... Flotsam and Jetsam is basically anything that's been thrown off a ship the sea and then, like, floats up to the... Like, if you found anything that has, like, washed up on the beach, that is Flotsam and Jetsam.
Interesting. Debris in the
water. Okay, technically Flotsam is wreckage, while Jetsam is... cargo that has been thrown overboard.
Wow, that context makes so much more sense in what this chapter is about.
Yes.
Did you also know they're a Arizona trash metal band?
I did not, but shout out to Flotsam and Jetsam, the Arizona trash metal band.
And aren't they also characters in The Little Mermaid? They are.
Oh, they are.
They're the evil, like, see, Ursula's, like, evil minions.
Yeah, her eels, with each one having a different colored eye. Good shout out to Ursula for great naming conventions for her pets, you know?
They make so much more sense now. And today I learned.
Today you learned what Flotsam and Jetsam are.
And so did you, dear listeners.
The more you know.
The more you know.
So, today... we are going to be explaining a chapter where... two friends explain to their other friends went through. We are marrying and pippining this chapter.
We're Merry and pippining Merry and Pippin.
Yeah. So all of you are our Aragorn, Legolas, and Gimli's.
Aww, our deer hunters.
Of those three, you can pick which one you want to be. And you can imagine
Legolas.
Us as
just kidding.
Merry. No, you're Merry. I'm Pippin.
You're right.
We have to be excellent hosts in this house that isn't actually ours, and we just took over.
Should we start with a reading, then? Of them setting the scene?
I don't think we've ever started a chapter with a reading.
Maybe we should start it with a reading, because otherwise it's all just Merry and Pippin monologuing, so.
Yeah. Well, without further ado, let's jump in.
Gandalf and the king's company rode away, turning eastward to make the circuit of the ruined walls of Isengard. But Aragorn, Gimli, and Legolas remained behind, leaving Arad and Hasselfel to stray in search of grass. They came and sat beside the hobbits.
Well, well, the hunt is over, and we meet again at last, where none of us ever thought to come,
said Aragorn. And now that the great ones have gone to discuss high matters, said Legolas, the hunters can perhaps learn the answers to their own small riddles. We tracked you as far as the forest, but there are still many things that I should like to know the truth of. And there is a great deal, too, that we want to know about you, said Merry. We have learnt a few things through Treebeard, the old Ent, but that is not nearly enough. All in good time, said Legolas. We were the hunters, and you should give an account of yourselves to us first.
Or second,
said Gimli.
It would go better after a meal. I've a sore head, and it is past midday. You truants might make amends by finding us some of the plunder that you spoke of. Food and drink would pay off some of my score against you.
Then you shall have it,
said Pippin.
Will you have it here? Or in more comfort, in what's left of Saruman's guardhouse, over there under the arch? We had a picnic out here, so as to keep an eye on the road.
Less than an eye,
said Gimli.
But I will not go into any orc house, nor touch orcs' meat or anything that they have mauled.
We wouldn't ask you to, said Merry. We have had enough of orcs ourselves to last a lifetime, but there are many other folk in Isengard. Saruman kept enough wisdom not to trust his orcs. He had men to guard his gates, some of his most faithful servants, I suppose. Anyway, they were favored and got good provisions.
And pipeweed?
Asked Gimli. No, I don't think so, Merry laughed. But that is another story, which can wait until after lunch.
Well, let us go and have lunch then,
said the dwarf. The hobbits led the way, and they passed under the arch and came to a wide door upon the left at the top of the stair. It opened direct into a large chamber, with other small doors at the far end, and a hearth and chimney at one side. The chamber was hewn out of the stone, and it must have once been dark, for its windows looked out only into the tunnel. The light came in now through the broken roof. On the hearth wood was burning.
A little bit of a fire,
said Pippin.
It cheered us up in the fogs. There were a few faggots about, and most of the wood we could find was wet. But there was a great draught in the chimney. It seems to wind away up through the rock, and fortunately it has not been blocked. A fire is handy. I will make you some toast. The bread is 3 or 4 days old, I'm afraid.
Aragorn and his companions sat themselves down at one end of a long table, and the hobbits disappeared through one of the inner doors.
Storeroom in there, and above the floods, luckily,
said Pippin as they came back laden with dishes, bowls, cups, knives, and food of various sorts. And you need not turn up your nose at the provender, Master Gimli, said Merry. This is not orc stuff, but man food, as Treebeard calls it. Will you have wine or beer? There's a barrel inside, very passable, and this is first-rate salted pork. Or I can cut you some rashers of bacon and broil them if you like. I'm sorry there's no green stuff. The deliveries have been rather interrupted in the last few days. I cannot offer you anything to follow but butter and honey for your bread. Are you content?
Indeed, yes,
said Gimli.
The score is much reduced.
The three were soon busy with their meal, and the two hobbits, unabashed, set to a second time. We must keep our guests company, they said. You are full of courtesy this morning, laughed Legolas. But maybe, if we had not arrived, you would already have been keeping one another company.
Maybe, and why not?
Said Pippin.
We had foul fare with the orcs, and little enough for days before that. It seems a long while since we could eat to heart's content.
It does not seem to have done you any harm,
said Aragorn.
Indeed, you look in the bloom of health.
Aye, you do indeed,
said Gimli, looking them up and down over the top of his cup.
Why, your hair is twice as thick and curly as when we parted, and I would swear that you've both grown somewhat, if that is possible for hobbits of your age. This Treebeard, at any rate, has not starved you.
He has not, said Merry. But Ents only drink, and drink is not enough for content. Treebeard's draughts may be nourishing, but one feels the need of something solid, and even Lembas is none the worse for a change. You have drunk of the waters of the Ents, have you? Said Legolas. Ah, then I think it is likely that Gimli's eyes do not deceive him. Strange songs have been sung of the draughts of Fangorn.
Many strange tales have been told about that land,
said Aragorn.
I have never entered it. Come, tell me more about it, and about the Ents.
Ents,
said Pippin.
Ents are... Well, Ents are all different, for one thing. But their eyes now, their eyes are very odd.
He tried a few fumbling words that trailed off into silence.
Oh well,
he went on.
You've seen some at a distance already. They saw you, at any rate, and reported that you were on the way. And you will see many others, I expect, before you leave here. You must form your own ideas.
Now, now,
said Gimli.
We are beginning the story in the middle. I should like a tale in the right order, starting with that strange day when our fellowship was broken.
You shall have it, if there is time, said Merry. But first, if you have finished eating, you shall fill your pipes and light up, and then for a little while we can pretend that we are all back safe at Bree again, or in Rivendell. He produced a small leather bag full of tobacco. We have heaps of it, he said, and you can all pack as much as you wish when we go. We did some salvage work this morning, Pippin and I. There are lots of things floating about. It is Pippin who found two small barrels, washed up out of some cellar or storehouse, I suppose. When we opened them, we found they were filled with this, as fine a pipeweed as you could wish for, and quite unspoilt. Gimli took some and rubbed it in his palms and sniffed it.
It feels good, and it smells good,
he said. It is good, said Merry. My dear Gimli, it is Longbottom Leaf. There were the Hornblower brand marks on the barrels, as plain as plain. How it came here, I can't imagine. For Saruman's private use, I fancy. I never knew that it went so far abroad. But it comes in handy now.
It would,
said Gimli,
if I had a pipe to go with it. Alas, I lost mine in Moria, and Orpafor. Is there no pipe in all your plunder?
No, I'm afraid not, said Merry. We have not found any, not even here in the guard rooms. Saruman kept this dainty to himself, it seems. And I don't think it'd be any use knocking on the doors of Orthanc to beg a pipe of him. We shall have to share pipes, as good friends must at a pinch.
Half a moment,
said Pippin. Putting his hand inside the breast of his jacket, he pulled out a little soft wallet on a string.
I keep a treasure or two near my skin, as precious as rings to me. Here's one, my old wooden pipe. And here's another, an unused one. I've carried it a long way, though I don't know why. I never really expected to find any pipeweed on the journey, when my own ran out. But now it comes in useful after all.
He held up a small pipe with a wide flattened bowl and handed it to Gimli.
Does that settle the score between us?
He said.
Settle it!
Cried Gimli.
Most noble hobbit, it leaves me deep in your debt.
Well, I'm going back into the open air to see what the wind and sky are doing, said Legolas.
We will come with you,
said Aragorn. They went out and seated themselves upon the piled stones before the gateway. They could see far down into the valley now. The mists were lifting and floating away upon the breeze.
Now, let us take our ease here for a little,
said Aragorn.
We will sit on the edge of ruin and talk, as Gandalf says, while he is busy elsewhere. I feel a weariness such as I have seldom felt before.
He wrapped his gray cloak about him, hiding his mail shirt, and stretched out his long legs. Then he lay back and sent from his lips a thin stream of smoke.
Look,
said Pippin.
Strider the Ranger has come back. He's never been away,
said Aragorn.
I am Strider and Dúnedain too, and I belong to both Gondor and the North.
I love this little interaction.
What a cute little catch-up between friends after they thought each other were dead.
Just Merry and Pippin, like, oh, would you like some bacon? In there's our storeroom, and there's a few more rooms over there. It's like they're just showing off the new house they bought.
After, like, they were just found outside of an evil tower, after being carried away by orcs, as if nothing happened. I guess that's what you do after trauma.
In fact, they're better off now than they were when they left the Fellowship.
And taller.
And taller.
It was a cute little scene, though. It felt like... Where's the line? I had it underlined. Oh, when Merry says we can pretend that we're all back safe at Bree again or in Rivendell. It's like, oh, just a little rest. A little catch-up where they don't have to worry about impending doom.
Yeah.
You know.
And he, like, when they arrive, he gives them choices of the food they get to eat. Will you have wine or beer? There's a barrel inside there, very passable. And this is first-rate salted pork. Or I can cut some rashers of bacon and broil them if you like. I'm sorry there's no green stuff. The deliveries have been rather interrupted in the last few days.
It's like apologizing for not having a fuller spread, because this is a pretty full spread on its own.
And then offering butter and honey.
Such a hobbit meal already.
This gives such Molly vibes.
Sorry, it's not much, and it's a full table full of food.
He's just like, it's not much. You and me are just like, are you shitting me? Look at it. And then they all go outside to smoke some weed, and they light up, and they start telling each other what all's been happening ever since they got separated.
And then talk.
Also, you find out that basically the entire book has only taken place over 9 days.
Yeah, what the heck?
Like, what the fuck?
Okay,
Jimmy.
We're halfway through the book, and it's been 9 days.
Considering the first two chapters of the Fellowship takes place over 11 years.
The first two chapters is 11 years?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because it was
because Bilbo leaves.
Gotcha.
Bilbo leaves, and then there's 11 years after that when Gandalf is, like, looking into where the ring came from and doing his research.
Pacing, Jimmy, you're pacing.
11 years. Heck, and then there's, like, several, like, weeks and then months on the way to Rivendell.
Mm-hmm.
They spend months in Rivendell, And then it's like another month going through. I think Fellowship of the Ring takes the most amount of time in the trilogy.
Because they're just walking and walking and paddling.
Two Towers is like 9 days. Two Towers is 9 days. Let's say 11 days, to be generous, to include what happens with Frodo and Sam this entire time.
Mm-hmm.
But like maybe 2 weeks. So Two Towers is literally 2 weeks. And then Return of the King is also just as fast as well.
Wow. Well, you know, time flies when you're in the middle of a war.
The War of the Ring technically begins in this book and then ends a few weeks later. It's like the shortest war. Like, Sauron begins his attack and then all of a sudden he's defeated. He's like, what the fuck just happened?
Well, you know, that's good. If you're going to have a war, make it short.
Make it a short
one. Maybe that was Jimmy being hopeful as a war veteran.
It might be. That might be it, actually. So...
Then Pippin is like, here's what you missed on Glee.
Yeah. And also we get a touch of Hobbit lore in that in the Shire calendar, every month is 30 days. And
I'm like
that makes so much more sense.
It does. Why
I would
does
love
ours
it
vary?
If every month was just 30 days. Because I know they have like, every month is 30 days. And then they have like special days that are considered holidays that aren't in a month. It's just the holiday.
Oh. Fascinating. Yeah. That's the way to do it. All of our months, we should not be going back and forth between 30 and 31. And then who knows what February is doing every year.
Yeah, it's every month is 30 days. And then I think it's like four holidays. Yeah, because there's 364 days in a year.
So that's the Shire calendar. Does that mean
that's the Shire calendar?
Other races have different calendars?
I believe so. I believe the other primary one is Gondor, which is what everything is kind of based on. And then there's the elven calendar.
Like,
I don't want to get into
the...
Do elves
even have calendars? Because
elves have calendars.
For freaking
elves...
forever.
Elves have calendars. We'll get to that when we cover the appendices after we finish the book.
You're like, that's
be...
too long of an explanation
that
for
is...
this little
I have
episode.
Not even... I've not even looked at those pages for years. I can't tell you what exactly they do. But the hobbits know what's up with timekeeping. Every month should be 30 days, so I can at least make scheduling way easier.
Vibes.
But yeah, they cover basically what we've known about them, how they got captured by the orcs, how they left behind like signs that they were there to show Aragorn, Legolas, and Gimli where they were going. Aragorn actually returns the leaf he had picked up to Pippin, and Pippin's like, never thought I'd see this again.
And Gimli gives a little compliment, cutting off the bands of your wrist was smart work.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get picked up. Oh, wait. Before they get picked up.
Oh, and they get their cloaks that Galadriel gave them, and their sword sheaths as well that she gave them. So they get those presents back.
They really left a little, bread crumb of their items for them to follow.
Well, I think the elven, apparently the elven stuff was left behind because orcs just hate elven stuff. It was Pippin who left the brooch.
Mm.
The brooch. And they basically give their account of Grishnak and Ugluk butting heads, and Aragorn's like, I don't like what I'm hearing about these Mordor orcs being across the river. In any case, I don't think Saruman is going to be in a good place now that Mordor knows that he betrayed them.
Yeah.
And then they, basically Merry and Pippin jump into when the Ents lose their fucking shit and march on Isengard.
Good on them.
Singing their little song. We don't actually have a song. No, but we already covered this song in the last Merry and Pippin.
Oh, is it the same
one? Yeah, it's the same one.
You know, it has been... I feel like...
I don't think there was a song for Helm's Deep either.
Yeah, we've been missing some songs. Oh, poor listeners.
Though I always accounted it that... that Jimmy is very... Jimmy... J.R.R. Tolkien, I'll call him Jimmy. Jimmy is very purposeful of where he puts songs. He does want to put a song in every chapter, except the ones that feature great loss. So the only chapter, I believe, where we don't have a song in, or is it two? I think there's no song in the Bridge of Khazad-dûm where Gandalf dies.
Mm. Yeah, you're
and
right.
I don't think there's one when the Fellowship separates in that last episode. Not last episode, in that last chapter.
I don't see one in Helm's Deep either.
Yeah, and not one in Helm's Deep, because that's a battle, and there is...
There's no songs in battle.
There's no song and glory in battle. So I kind of want to see if that theme keeps up. We'll keep track of that.
I thought there was something missing from our recordings. This one technically,
I guess it has a song but it's just a copy and paste of the previous one.
Remix.
Though Isengard be strong and hard, as cold as stone and bare as bone, we go, we go, we go to war to hew the stone and break the door.
Nice rhythmic song. Like, I can imagine them marching to it.
Mm-hmm. And Mary gives this description of, it was then that I first had the feeling that the forest itself was moving behind us. I thought I was dreaming an Entish dream, but Pippin had noticed it too. We were both frightened, but we did not find out more until later. And those are the Huorns. They stand here and there in the wood or under its eaves, silent, watching endlessly over the trees. But deep in the darkest dales, there are hundreds and hundreds of them.
Terrifying. Okay, is this the first actual mention of the Huorns? Because I believe you told me about them last chapter.
I told you about the Huorns in the last Treebeard chapter, I believe. Because I took it like it was just Oh, and the chapter before, yeah. In Helm's Deep. Because that's the forest that comes to Helm's Deep.
Yeah, they sound terrifying, where they're like... mostly tree, still,
but
are
not
like
quite
sentient, and like
the imposters among us. The trees are not all the trees are trees, and that's a terrifying thing to say.
Yeah.
You have trees, you have Huorns, and then you have Ents. Trees are, I guess, the most wild, but they're not really that dangerous because they're rooted to the ground and they can't do much. Huorns are very dangerous in that they can move very quickly, apparently, as well. They can be on you before you know what's happening.
And they're gay. They have become queer and wild.
Oh, they've become queer and wild, yes.
Watch out and for those gay trees.
The Ents are the only ones who can really control the Huorns.
So they're like a different tree race. They're not...
basically. Like,
okay.
They're not Ents.
That's for a second I thought they were just like super old Ents or like a different kind of Ent, but they are like
like trees that are more awake, I guess. Ents? I guess it has to do
or Huorns,
I mean. Okay. Huorns are trees that are more awake.
Okay.
I would lend it to how remember the old man Willow from the old forest?
Yeah.
I think he's the closest thing to a Huorn we've seen before these. Okay. But he can't move. He can only, like, cast spells, kind of, in the air about him. Though, it does say how in the old forest the paths seem to move and shift. And that could just be due to the trees moving and shifting.
I love this Ent tree lore. I feel like they're not given enough in the movies.
They used to all be part of the same forest. The Fangorn Forest used to stretch up to the old forest, and it used to just be one big forest until a lot of it got cut down in the Second Age.
And that's why they hate axes.
And they hate axes. But I think Huorns are the only thing that, like, why Huorns aren't found anywhere else is simply because the Entdrots are the Ent water in Fangorn Forest keeps them awake and lets them be mobile. I feel like if you deprive a Huorn of like Entdrot enough, they become tree-ish.
Tree-ish. They become wild. Fascinating.
But yeah, some of the Huorns stay around and, like, surround Isengard, and some of the Huorns head south to deal with the orcs attacking Helm's Deep.
And they play some trumpets.
Yes, and then the army of Isengard marches out before the Huorns surround, of course. There's a big blasting of trumpets, and for a second they think they've been noticed as they're marching up, but no, it's just the army leaving Isengard to attack Helm's Deep. And then once the army has left, Treebeard sets Merry and Pippin down, walks right up to the gate, and starts pounding on the gate, being like, Saruman, you get your ass out here!
How freaking terrifying to have a whole ass tree banging on your door. How do you fight a tree? Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess we'll find out how you fight a tree, but...
They get no response except for arrows and stones being thrown over the wall. And that just pisses off Treebeard. And apparently they're very dangerous. But an Ent can be stuck full of orc arrows as a pincushion and take no serious harm. They cannot be poisoned, for one thing, and their skin seems to be very thick and tougher than bark. It takes a very heavy axe stroke to wound them seriously. They don't like axes. But there would have to be a great many axemen to one Ent. A man that hacks at an Ent never gets a chance of a second blow. A punch from an Ent fist crumples up iron like thin tin. Can you imagine a guy just getting, like, punched by an Ent? Just
by a whole ass tree. No. It sounds terrifying.
Just caves in his, like, fucking chest.
The poor lumberjacks of Middle Earth. That's why you don't hear of any of them.
The annoying, like, stinging of the arrows just pisses Treebeard off, and he gets hasty, as he would say.
And how fast and is his hasty?
Basically, all the Ents just start ripping down the walls. Like, the doors aren't opening? Alright, rips down the entire wall.
They pushed, pulled, tore, shook, and hammered in clang, bang, crash, crack. In 5 minutes, they had these huge gates just lying in ruin.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them were beginning to eat it into the walls like rabbits in a sandpit. Oh, to be Saruman in that tower.
And then, like, they talk about, like, you know, Saruman's not so great. I don't know why everyone was talking about how powerful of a wizard he was.
I don't know why they're afraid of him. We took him down in, like, a day.
And Aragorn is like, well, he was a great wizard. He can't really say much. He's like, well, he was a great wizard at some point, and he still has some of that power, but obviously the Ents were a bit stronger.
I did like how he gave a shout out to Gandalf, Elrond, and Galadriel. Perhaps now that his wickedness has been laid bare, but very few others,
yeah,
as being like the few people
of being able to talk with him without him like controlling their minds, basically. Yeah,
he would make a good politician.
He's got advantage on charisma checks, and he just keeps rolling them. So basically, they tear down the walls and rush in and look around. And all of a sudden, Quickbeam yells, "The tree killer! The tree killer!" And he starts chasing after this figure dressed all in white. A pale figure hurrying away. Saruman manages to escape Quickbeam, but I love the image of Saruman just running for his life as Quickbeam is just like, "Ah!" Like, Quickbeam, this really nice Ent who's been very fun and nice to be around for Merry and Pippin. And then he's just losing his shit, like,
as he deserves. It's the tree killer.
And unfortunately, once Saruman gets into the Tower of Orthanc, which is kind of his safety base,
I can't believe he escaped Quickbeam. Honestly,
yeah, it says he was within a step or two of being caught and strangled when he slipped through the door. Like,
it feels like
Quickbeam was right there. You
we
ever
need
get chased by
replay?
As a kid, whenever, do you ever remember playing tag, and as you're running, you'd look behind and see someone gaining on you, and you'd go, "Aah!" and you'd freak out and run even faster? That's
Jumping
what I
bush.
Imagined Saruman. Yeah, that's what Saruman was doing. And instead of your friend, it's a tree.
Terrifying.
Yeah, unfortunately, as soon as Saruman is safely inside Orthanc, he starts giving a bit of a punishment of his own. He starts venting these great bursts of fire from underground. And unfortunately, one of the Ents named Beachbone, a very tall, handsome Ent, Mary describes him, gets caught in liquid fire and burns like a torch. So he got napalmed, basically.
Poor handsome Beachbone. Never even got to know how handsome he was.
And that really pisses off the Ents, and they just start losing their shit and just throwing themselves against Orthanc, which unfortunately they can't hurt because Orthanc was made by the Numenoreans by their special crafting, and it's like a very special kind of stone. And like it's a dark fused stone that they was that was made with like all the craft and care that Numenor could make. You'll actually find out that the first wall of Minas Tirith on the ground floor of Minas Tirith is actually made of the same stone that Orthanc is made from.
I do want to read that little section because it is kind of sad and fascinating. Many of the Ents were hurling themselves against the Orthanc rock, but that defeated them. It is very smooth and hard. Some wizardry is in it, perhaps older and stronger than Saruman's. Anyway, they could not get a grip on it or make a crack in it, and they were bruising and wounding themselves against it. That's sad.
Mm-hmm.
First they're on fire, and now they're hurting themselves as they try to crush into this rock that they cannot get through.
Luckily, Treebeard does keep his head, and he brings all the Ents back to him. He calms them down, and they start to make a plan. And they leave a watch on the tower, and most of them head north up towards the mountains nearby. Treebeard eventually comes back, and he seems very pleased with himself. And Merry and Pippin are like, so, what have you guys been doing? And
so, Treebeard's
like, the Huorns and the Ents have basically been digging these massive pools and pits to fill up with water from the River Isen that they plan on unleashing on Isengard. Which is kind of funny, because in the books, in the movies, I mean, the dam that was set up was actually Saruman's, but in the books you realize that Saruman didn't dam up the river, the Ents dammed up the river just to unleash it like a few hours later, just to build up some water. And he warns them, hey, just letting you know, don't be around here at nightfall, because we're going to breach the dams and we're going to flood this entire area. So find a dry space to be.
I'm excited to watch this part over, because it kind of confused me in the movies.
Yeah. And it's at nighttime that this is happening. And I will say, in the movies, it looks like all like the destruction of Isengard just all takes place over like an afternoon, basically. While with this one, it takes more time. Like, they breach Isengard in like an afternoon, but then they have to take their time to, like, flood it and fully destroy it. But while Treebeard's talking with them, who should ride up but Gandalf?
This bitch. We could make a drinking game of him appearing and disappearing and appearing. Surprise, bitch, I'm back.
I'm here now. And Pippin is just like, there was no need. He halted just by us and looked down at us. Gandalf, I said at last, but my voice was only a whisper. Did he say, hello, Pippin? This is a pleasant surprise?
No, indeed.
He said, get up, you tomfool of a took. Where in the name of wonder in all this ruin is Treebeard? I want him quick.
No time for hellos.
And so Treebeard and Gandalf talk about it, and Gandalf's like, hey, we got like a lot of orcs to the south attacking Helm's Deep. Could you lend me some Huorns? And
Treebeard's
like, oh yeah, I can send you some. And then like when Gandalf comes back, Pippin goes, but Gandalf, where have you been? And have you seen the others? Wherever I've been, I am back.
I freaking hate that answer. Freaking wizards and their riddles can never give a straight answer.
Yes, I have seen some of the others, but news must wait. This is a perilous night, and I must ride fast. But the dawn may be brighter, and if so, we shall meet again. Take care of yourselves, and keep away from Orthanc.
He's like, hi, bye, don't worry about me, see you soon. Ridiculous.
And immediately, after meeting with Gandalf, Treebeard goes, well, I find you are not such hasty folk as I thought. You said much less than you might, and no more than you should. then that night, Isengard began to fill up with black creeping streams and pools. They glittered in the last light of the moon as they spread over the plain. Every now and again, the waters found their way down into some shaft or spout hole. Great white steams hissed up, smoke rose in billows, there were explosions and gusts of fire. One great coil of vapor went whirling whirling up, twisting around and round Orthonk until it looked like a tall peak of cloud, fiery underneath and moonlit above. And still more water poured in, until at last Isengard looked like a huge flat saucepan, all steaming and bubbling.
Which explains what they saw when they looked out yonder.
Mm-hmm.
So what is...
And of course, Merry and Pippin almost drown.
Why is it so hot?
It's the... It's because the water, like, flowed down into, like, the furnaces under Isengard. And basically caused, like, flash explosions. Like, when water hits, like, when water is superheated into steam, the volume of water expands so quickly, it causes explosions.
Mm.
So, that's why, like, recycling centers, they have to dry out all the material first before they can put it into the furnace. Otherwise, it will cause an explosion.
And that was science with Professor Paul.
Come again next time when I talk more about stuff I only kind of know about. But Merry and Pippin almost do drown because they take refuge in the guard room, but the water is still rising, so they have to kind of like keep climbing up, and luckily they find a storeroom and manage to hide out in there.
Did surprise me. All this was happening and no one really kind of checked in on them. They're just like, oh, the hobbits will be fine.
Treebeard said, hey, don't go into Isengard. And that's all he did.
And then just left them. Man, can you imagine if they just drowned? And that was the end of that.
We just find... they come to the entrance of Isengard, and instead of Merry and Pippin, it's just their dead bodies just floating. Like lying there.
Beside the barrels of weed. JK, they're fine.
The unopened barrels of weed. And so, yeah, they explain it. But
they
then Gimli's like...
drowned Isengard.
They drowned Isengard, and now if Saruman wants to escape, he has to go through, like, waist-high water with Ents all around, which makes it very difficult.
Yeah, probably not.
And then Gimli's like, hey, you guys know about this guy named Wormtongue? And they're like, oh boy, can I tell you? And so they were at the gate in the morning, waiting for Gandalf to arrive, and they hear a hoofbeat, and they're like, oh, Gandalf's back! Instead, Grima shows up.
Oh, they wanted Gandalf instead. Got a Grima.
He looks at what happens to Isengard. Doesn't even notice Merry Pippin and Treebeard just looking at him.
How do you miss Treebeard?
He realizes Isengard is completely destroyed. Like, he wasn't expecting that.
True.
Like, if you were watching 9/11 happen. That's and a giant tree was next to you. A giant tree person was next to you.
All right. The analogy checks out. I get it.
This is Wormtongue's 9/11. A second Ent has hit the tower.
No! Do you remember where you were when Isengard was drowned?
I need to make a meme of that one advisor leaning down to whisper in George Bush's ear.
Oh, God.
But instead, it's Saruman's face, and it's just, sir, a second Ent has hit the tower.
Make it for the announcement of this next episode. And maybe I'll tweet it.
Maybe I'll tweet a 9/11 show.
We went so long in this book without one. It must be a new record.
Well, we couldn't have kept it up for long.
This is the reason we don't have a 5-star rating. Someone's like, too many 9/11 jokes.
too many. But then finally Grima does notice the giant tree person and tries to run. And Treebeard like, just oh, like takes shit. Two. Treebeard takes two steps and just plucks him off the horse. And Grima's like, oh, I'm an advisor to the king. I was supposed to send a message to Saruman. But it looks like I don't have to. Guess I should go. And Treebeard's like, Gandalf told me about you, Grima
Gandalf
Wormtongue.
Gandalf beat you here, sucker. So I already know who you are. Put all the rats in one trap, said Gandalf, and I will. Snarky, I love it.
I'm the master of Isengard now, but Saruman is locked in this tower, and you can go there and give him all the messages that you can think of.
So sassy.
And then he basically, Wormtongue goes like through the water.
He has two choices, to stay with me until Gandalf and your master arrive, or to cross the river.
Cross the water.
Which will you have? And I like the idea of him sticking his, like, toe in it. What is the elf from, not the elf, the elephant from Tarzan? Where he's like, this...
Oh my god, yeah.
This looks suspicious to me, or something like that.
Yeah.
You know what line I'm thinking of? That right now is Wormtongue.
And then Wormtongue just turned around like, I can't swim.
Humbled quickly.
The water's not deep. It is dirty, but that will not harm you, Master Wormtongue. In you go now. But I love how Treebeard just wades in after him to watch his progress. He's just like, he's just like, in case he does start drowning, he's there to just pluck him out.
Really giving him a walk of shame to the tower. Mm. And then he says, I saw him crawling up the steps like a draggled rat.
Draggled rat.
Humbled. I love this Wormtongue roast.
And then basically, Treebeard assigns Merry and Pippin to welcome Théoden. He's like, I don't have much experience with kings, and neither do you, but I'm also a tree person who doesn't really know titles and such.
You can find man food. You can talk to them. Here is your role. You've got a job to do now that you've survived the flooding.
There have been many lords in the green fields in my time, and I've never learned their speech or their names.
And I will not start now.
Nope. I ain't got time for man names.
Even though he lives for freaking ever.
And then the Ents come to collect man food for 25. And they also don't provide them with anything to drink, because the Ents are like, what do you mean drink? We got water. You know what you get? You get water. And that's all you get to drink. Wine? Beer? Nah. Hydrate yourself, motherfucker.
And here's a reminder to you, listener, to drink water. Have you drank water today? Put down the iced coffee.
We need a picture of Quick Beam. A picture of Quick Beam pointing at the person and going, have you drank water today?
Hydrate or die straight, bitches.
But Aragorn, they kind of come to the end of their tale, and Aragorn's like, there's one thing that does disturb me, and that's the pipeweed.
Out of everything in that whole story.
Yeah. Leaf from the South Farthing in Isengard. The more I consider it, the more curious I find it. I've never been in Isengard, but I've journeyed in this land, and I know well the empty countries that lie between Rohan and the Shire. Neither goods nor folk have passed that way for many a long year, not openly. Saruman had secret dealings with someone in the Shire, I guess. Wormtongues may be found in other houses than King Theoden's.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever evil was afoot is over now, I hope, or else it is beyond our reach at the present. Yet I think I shall mention it to Gandalf, small matter though it may seem among his great affairs.
Do we find out? Or is it just a mystery?
We might find out that someone in the Shire has been in contact with Saruman, yeah.
It was the Saxville Baggins. I knew they wanted more than just their spoons.
Okay, you're actually right.
Am I?
it's a Saxville Baggins, yeah.
Oh, damn.
It's not Lobelia.
Never could trust them.
Never trust a Saxville Baggins.
Jimmy planted that seed early on.
But, don't find out. Until basically the second to last chapter
in all the books. Of all the books.
No, in all the books. Oh, all the books.
I would have forgotten by then. I will have forgotten.
I mean, you probably still will. Oh, goodness. Well.
Flotsam and Jetsam.
Are you Flotsam and am I Jetsam? Or are you Jetsam and I'm Flotsam?
You can be Flotsam.
Oh, so you get to be Jet and I get to be Flot.
You get to be Flot. Or Flots.
I mean, I guess it describes our style on the dance floor really well. You're Jet and I'm Flot.
I like how you just instantly made one of them cool.
Well, yeah, Jet. I'm Jet.
I wish y'all could see the poses Paul's doing with these names.
I'm Jet. I'm Flot. That's the two.
And with that.
Or we can just be both Sam. I don't.
Just Sam 1 and Sam 2.
Sam Jet and Sam Flot. So that's nothing really else to talk about in this chapter. Nothing deep, nothing really profound.
It's another catch-up episode.
Here's another catch-up episode.
Here's what's going on.
Yeah. I think we'll have a lot more...
hobbits have been up to.
Deep and profound analysis in the Frodo and Sam ones, because there's not as much to work with.
Do we get deep and profound? What's the deepest and most profound we have gotten?
Well, I don't know. We haven't had just a Frodo and Sam chapter yet. But I might, when they finally destroy the ring, I might say another 9/11 joke.
I thought you were going to get serious here.
Well, I am serious. I am going to do another 9/11 joke. But also, once we hit Sam and Frodo's chapters, I think we'll be a lot more introspective.
Forgot about those two.
We're pursuing. That's what we're pursuing in 2024. Enough of the goofing off with Merry and Pippin and Aragorn and Legolas and Gimli. Time to get introspective in 2024.
We're getting serious now.
With Sam and Frodo and Gollum, who shows up.
And Gollum. And my Gollum. Friend Steve.
It's finally me and you and me and you. Just us and your friend TikTok? Steve.
I'm going to do that.
With Frodo and Sam and then Gollum. And Gollum. You know what? I think you should do it.
Okay.
Get editing. Get to work. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode. Time for, as always, special thanks. Our first special thanks of the new year. Woo! Special thanks, as always, to Wool, our excellent cover artist. Special thanks to my friend Jack Hook, composed our intro and outro music. And as always, special thanks to our contributors over on Patreon. Remember, if you would like to join our Patreon, go to www.patreon.com/sillymarillions.
Silly Marillion.
Fuck!
Maybe in 2024.
That's my New Year's resolution. I'm going to get through them once without fucking up.
Oh, it's just a part of the bit, though. It's a part of the bit.
God forbid I actually learn our fucking website. Thank God you're here. Thank God you're here to manage our socials and shit.
That's a partnership right there.
It's a partnership. But yeah, go over there for $5 tier. You can hear our bonus pods that we release every month, which is just me and Tori catching up, shooting the shit, being goofy. If you like that part of our podcast and don't really want to hear as much about Lord of the Rings, we offer that for the $5 tier. The $10 tier is you get to join our movie club. We like to watch a movie once a month. And you can join us in our Discord and watch the movie with us. Or if you can't make it when we do watch that movie, you can we record our commentary, which usually is just us being like, and then me eating a sloppy Joe in the background. But you can then just listen to that. You can sync it up, our commentary, with the film.
I really enjoy watching the movies with the patrons. It's a good time.
It's a good time. Our latest one will have been us watching Arthur Christmas, a very fun, very lovely, and very heartwarming Christmas movie that I really like.
It's Christmas.
And for January, Tori, did you ever watch the D&D movie?
I did.
All that. Right.
Yeah, that would have been a good idea, though.
It would have been a good idea. I had to ask him, like, I don't know if I ever talked about the D&D movie with Tori. That's a very good movie, though. We'll find something for January. We still have a whole month ahead of us. Go on over, join our Patreon if you want. And if not, thank you for just listening to these podcasts.
Yeah.
We love doing them. And
thanks for listening to our shit.
Hopefully the new year brings riches upon us and all of our listeners.
Here's some more shit talking in 2024.
Hey, thanks for listening to our shit. New Year's.
Bye.
Oh, God.
Bloopers. Oh, roll the bloopers.
Can you hear my roommate?
No. Hey, Finn.
One sec, let me.
I can't hear anything, though.
I might have to tell him one sec.
Finn, shut up. We're recording over here. Paul has just exited the room, wearing a very fashionable bathrobe. We'll see if he keeps all this in. I'm just going to keep talking. Oh, is this where I talk crap about Paul? Joke's on me. I have nothing bad to say about Paul. I don't even know if he listens to these. I've definitely rambled before and gave him a secret word to say if he did hear it, and he never said the secret word. So there's a bunch of shit talking that he just never heard. Hi. Hmm?
Hi. What did you say?
Nothing.
I'm going to have to listen back to this. I'm going to have to listen in.
Nothing at all, Paul. I said nothing while you were gone. I just sat here patiently waiting for you to come back. Sounds good. Sorry, I was looking for water.
Have your glass of water.
Only had something bubbly. Let me get more water.
Yeah, how dare you have only something bubbly. Hey, so listeners, while Tori's away, no one knows about this. And Tori's not going to find out because she's not the one editing, so she's never going to hear what I just said.
Are you going to edit it out? Then I will never know. Where you can know.
I'll put it all in the back of the episode. Okay. I'll put your secret message in the back of the episode, and I'll put my secret message in the back of the episode.
But there is a great draft in the chimney. It seems to wind up away. Oh, damn it. It seems to wind away up through the... fuck.
Pippin saying fuck.
I'm including Pippin saying fuck at the end of the... Please do. A lot of stuff to put at the end of this fucking episode.